The Truth News Network. Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN. Truth News Network. For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
Welcome, everyone, to TruthNewsNetwork.org. I'm Dan Newman, and we're just glad you're here today. We've made it through a week, and we finished up with the elections, didn't we? Well, not so quickly. Still going on in Florida. Still going on in Arizona. Maybe we're going to find out who's going to win those elections, and maybe we can find out what, if anything, has been going on. But that's a story for another day. Today we're talking about that new buzzword that everyone except TNN is using. It's called globalism. And the title of today's story is Globalism, the New World Threat. We've been leaving it alone. We've shied away from very much in the way of discussion of the new buzzword, globalism. But, folks, the TNN gloves are off. French President Emmanuel Macron, who was under siege by citizens of his own country, literally attacked President Trump in a speech on Sunday in Paris. Multiple world leaders had joined the U.S. president in France to mark the anniversary of Armistice Day, or as it is termed in the United States, Veterans Day. Here is the segment of Macron's speech at the World War I monument that has challenged the sensibilities and world leadership of the United States. And I'm quoting President Macron. Patriotism is the exact opposite of nationalism. Nationalism is a betrayal of patriotism. By saying our interest first, who cares about the others? We erase what a nation holds dearest, what gives it life, what makes it great, and what is essential, its moral values. I know there are old demons which are coming back to the surface. They are ready to wreak chaos and death. History sometimes threatens to take its sinister course once again. And that's a synopsis of President Macron's speech. Well, President Macron, other U.S. and world globalists, please read the Webster's Dictionary definition of nationalism. This is what it says. Nationalism is loyalty and devotion to a nation, especially one's own nation, a sense of national consciousness, placing primary emphasis on promotion of that nation's culture and interest, as opposed to those of other nations or supranational. Now that word, supranational, refers to a type of multinational political union where negotiated power is delegated to an authority by governments of member states. That term, supranational, is sometimes used to describe the European Union as a new type of political entity. So what's the point here? Political elitists in the United States have gone absolutely crazy since President Trump proclaimed himself a nationalist. Why? Of course, leftists have revised the definition of that word, nationalist and nationalism, to be white nationalism. To do so means that someone with some power given to them by someone else authorized a group of political activists who despise conservatives, conservatism, and conservative ideals, nationalist and nationalism, to label anyone and everyone who supports nationalism as a white nationalist. This should surprise no one, since the left's fuel driving their boat is no longer cloaked in secrecy. It has been exposed, and we've talked about it here, identity politics, or that's a sophisticated way to just say label. And by the way, they get to label us all. They get to determine who we really are. Doesn't matter who we really are. We are who and what they say we are. They have no real policies. They have no real political platforms. They have no tangible proposals for improvement of anything in the United States. They have literally removed their mask worn for so long and have now determined to launch headlong into anti-everything our Constitution stands for. I know that sounds radical, but every day a little bit more of that onion is being peeled back, folks. And it's true. They want to turn back all of the fundamentals of the U.S. Constitution, the guarantees of freedom. Removal of the mask reveals their hellish hatred for average Americans who believe in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And remember this one, give me liberty or give me death. They have flushed all of the Democratic puzzle pieces that have since Plymouth Rock hooked together to complete the puzzle of pure freedom without oppressive government, with liberty and justice for all, with equal justice under the law, and they flushed it down the toilet of history that contains the wasted remains of utopian dreams of a perfect totalitarian world that has and will not ever succeed. That is the definition of insanity. Macron's France and most of Europe see Donald Trump as an aberration of reality. That is certainly fleeting. Of course, they look at Trump and his USA through a prism of socialist elitism. Macron himself is dying a swift political death in his own country. His approval ratings plummet dangerously close to that of members of the U.S. Congress. That low, that is really low. His once semi-conservative political ideals have lit the socialist fires that burn brightly through the European continent, especially in France. And apparently, French leaders have put him on notice, and his marching orders now include public humiliation of President Donald Trump. That sounds a lot like those same fires that are burning brightly all across the United States, especially in big cities like New York, and Washington, and Chicago, and Los Angeles. Speaking of Europe, how do the members of the European mainstream media think about our president and nationalism? Here's what they think. Here's analysis by the BBC North America editor John Sopel. It's titled, "Bon Ami and Blows. Macron has provided a masterclass to other world leaders on how to handle Donald Trump. You cuddle up close, you flatter where and when necessary, but you use that to allow you to pack a big punch." He also spoke about the very special relationship between France and the U.S., a move that might have had some in Downing Street choking on their tea. In a cleverly crafted speech, he started with the entente between himself and the U.S. president that some said was just too cordial. But there came then the punches, and they were hard-hitting jabs taking direct aim at Donald Trump's policy agenda on free trade, on the importance of science, on inequality, and Mr. Trump's America First policies, pitting nationalism against patriotism. Macron said it is time to make the earth great again, a shot at the famous campaign slogan, "Make America Great Again." Macron's speech was punctuated by applause and cheering. This was an important moment in Europe, the U.S., and the entire world. Emmanuel Macron has emerged as a world leader who offers a competing and sharply different world vision to the U.S. president, while all the time maintaining a bonhomie with him. That's quite a political feat. Well, let's go back across the Atlantic. What about the U.S. home stream, mainstream media, like the Washington Post? Here's what they had to say. Ostensibly, Macron's speech was a warning to Europe, which is itself seeing a rise in far-right nationalist, anti-immigrant, and anti-Semitic groups. In France especially, Macron's own En Marche, which means working party, is losing ground to the right-wing National Rally, previously known as National Front. Elsewhere in Europe, far right-wing nationalist parties are seeing a resurgence in places such as Italy, Hungary, Poland, Austria, and Slovenia, among other countries. And it's not just in Europe, either. Far-right nationalist parties and politicians have also started gaining ground in Turkey, Brazil, and the Philippines. It's been going on in Russia for a decade, if not longer. History sometimes threatens to repeat its tragic patterns and undermine the legacy of peace we thought we had sealed with the blood of our ancestors. Boy, that's a great statement coming from the Washington Post. The story continues. For while Macron was warning Europe about nationalism, sitting nearby was Donald Trump, who has himself proudly declared himself a nationalist and whose rhetoric, some of it anyway, echoes that of the far-right nationalist movement. And as Macron was railing against nationalism, Donald Trump, listening to the speech via a translator earpiece, sat stone-faced, as Reuters describes it. Well, has anybody defined what far-right nationalist politics are to you? Let's break it down. Far-right nationalists. Okay. You know that group that's so strongly supporting the U.S. Constitution, the First Amendment, Antifa? Antifa is supposed to be far-right. They claim to be 100% for free speech, to stand against white supremacy, Nazism, fascism, and anti-Semitism. But the rallies at which they most often show up to protest are free speech rallies. Now, wait a minute. Does that seem confusing to you? They say they're for free speech. They're against any kind of editing or opposition to anything that the media wants to put out there. But they're not just demonstrating. They are rioting at rallies that are speaking out, and the speakers are talking about free speech. Antifa, which stands for anti-fascist, was actually established as a branch of Nazism specifically for young Germans. Now, you probably haven't heard that, because members of the new Antifa claim that is untrue. That's unsellable in the United States. But try as they may, history cannot be rewritten. And the actions of Antifa in the U.S. bear out the fact they really are fascist. They really are against free speech, not for it. Really are anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, and anti-conservative. They are not right-wing at all. What they're doing parallels who they are and who Antifa has looked like throughout human history. They are far left. They're far left, just like Nazis, fascists, communists, dictators, and other totalitarian countries and leaders. Keep the name, but change its meaning, at least at what you say it is, and you are still who you were before. These far-right nationalists mentioned in Reuters and the Washington Post are really not far-right, folks, at least in the meaning that today's mainstream media have determined far-right to be. They are primarily comprised of working-class citizens of foreign countries who have grown tired of living under the oppressive rule of socialist governments who steadily and stealthily take more and more control of the entire lives of their citizens. These governments through socialist policies in the marketplace, government-controlled health care, their judicial systems, education, and their economies, have driven middle-class citizens into the streets to cry for fairness. Each day in Italy, Hungary, Poland, Austria, Slovenia, and other countries, citizens slide further and further toward the depths of totalitarianism that historically has always sucked the life out of every individual, every family, every business, every major corporation, every educational institution, and any government agency, totally at the whims of a small group of elitists who have successfully convinced an electorate to either believe and support those utopian fantasies or to simply look the other way. So, what does all this mean? Listen closely to this summary. Say what you will. Donald Trump, besides being crass, verbose, loud, uncouth, arrogant, narcissistic, and sometimes contemptible, he's really a smart guy. You roll all that up. I know it's hard to come up with the word smart guy, but he really is. He, like no president in the history of U.S. presidents, has discarded the pomposity assigned by traditional political guidelines and has initiated a process of going for the jugular in every press conference, interview, policy presentation, speech, and even casual conversations that are on the record. I've said this previously, but he has masterfully crafted the ability to blur the actual substance of many of his comments. Why does he do that? Most on the left, and that includes almost everyone in the media, look and listen to exactly what he says, without regard of its context, historical references for his words, or his historically stated positions for any and every comment that he makes. Many call that doublespeak or purposefully misguiding others. But one thing that is absolutely certain to this journalist, nothing he says is without specific meaning that sometimes has nothing to do with the exact words that he says. I've told you this before. When President Trump is, rhetorically, waving his left hand around in the air with a clenched fist and he tells the world that he's got the greatest, shiniest, most amazing widget in that hand that will cure every illness, give every family on earth free health care and personal income to take care of all of their needs, don't listen to what he is saying about the goodies in his left hand. Think about what's really going on is in his other hand, tucked out of sight, behind his back. That's the way he literally controls the mainstream media narrative. I've said this before, too. Every news producer sets an early alarm clock to guarantee they catch President Trump's first tweet of the day, 7 days a week. His early morning tweets give those producers and those writers and those reporters the news ideas that will set the news coverage for the whole day for every news article and every news show. While doing that, you can bet he's not tweeting about all of the plans he is preparing to roll out to the American public at the proper time. That proper time is determined not by the media, as has been the case for past presidents, but is determined solely by him. Folks, he's really smart. Don't you think that Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama wish they could have hidden much of what their administrations were doing until they chose the time to and they revealed it to the world? That doesn't allege that nefarious things were being or are being hidden. That's just saying that the news media will do anything at all to get a scoop on anything presidential and to be the first to get it. Trump is the very first president to pull that off, and he does it again and again and again. The bottom line to this is that President Trump has found the heart of most Americans. More and more every day, more and more people are coming to the realization that not only has he promised some outlandish accomplishments that he will directly impact them in almost every area of their lives, he's made a bunch of them really happen already. And that's something very few past presidents were able to achieve, and that the news media cannot stand to see happen in a Trump presidency. Why? They simply want Trump to fail, simply because his successes so far, though monumental to most, do not fit their political elitist storyline. They cannot bear to be shown to be wrong. Regardless of what you see, regardless what you hear and surmise, this is an ongoing saga with much left to be written. And you can bet at the end of the Trump presidency, he may have won a bunch of battles for the American people, but the big winners in all of this, the winners of the war, will be middle Americans who he promised in his campaign he would help. Every president in a campaign has done that, but none have followed through on their promises like Donald Trump. By the way, European socialists are welcome to look in and copy the Trump agenda if they want to straighten out their globalist failures and follow the U.S. into nationalism and greatness. Thank you for joining us today at TNN, the Truth News Network. Always glad to have you along. Topics of the day are rolling out almost hourly. This week especially, there's so much going on that we want to talk to you about. A very special TNN show tomorrow. Set your clocks. It'll be posted with a podcast very early tomorrow morning, and it will blow your mind. We love having you along. You're never taken for granted at the Truth News Network. So long, everybody.
Uncertain about what you see and hear in mainstream media? Worried about getting the truth? No worries anymore. Get the truth, only the truth, at TNN, the Truth News Network, at dnewman.org.